bringing you key insights, tips, and advice from the brightest minds in the Canadian franchise industry, this is the Franchise Canada Chats podcast. I'm Gary Prenevost, your host of the Franchise Canada Chats podcast, where we take you into the world of franchising. Season 7 of Franchise Canada Chats will feature interviews with franchisees, franchisors, and industry leaders sharing key insights and expert advice on navigating challenges on their path to success. Franchise Canada Chats is brought to you by Frannet, Canada's franchise matchmaking experts. At Frannet, we help you to build your optimum business model. Then we introduce you to well-suited franchise options. Then, most importantly, we coach you through all aspects of your research so that you can arrive at an informed and defensible yes or no decision. Hello, everyone in Franchise Canada land. This is Gary Prenevost, president of Frannet of Southern Ontario and author of the just-released book, The Unstoppable Franchisee. Welcome to another episode of Season 7 of Franchise Canada Chats. It's my pleasure to welcome today's guest, John Martin, who's a Mavericks Donuts franchisee and opened his location in Stittsville, Ontario in the fall of 2020. We're going to talk to him today about his work as a franchisee and as a franchisor. We're also going to talk about what it takes to stand out in a crowded market as Canadians eat more donuts than any other country. John, it's good to have you on Franchise Canada Chats. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, it's our pleasure. So tell us a little bit about your background and experience and how that drew you to franchising, John.
Actually, I kind of fell into franchising about 20 years ago now. My mother started a healthcare business that was quite successful in the Ottawa area, and we expanded it. I decided to expand it as a franchise model, and we did about 50 locations over 15 years. And I got out of that before the pandemic, started to look around for something new, something that was exciting, something that I could make money with, and something that was just, that I felt passionate about. And I was introduced to the founders of Mavericks, who at the time had 3 locations in Ottawa. Amazing product, amazing branding, and, numbers were great. So I kind of jumped in with 2 feet to expand the company as a franchise model. So that's really where my background was. And as I was developing the franchise system, after I bought in and with another partner as well, I kept turning to my wife and saying, geez, we should really do a couple of these. and so we wound up signing a deal for 4 locations in the Ottawa area, and we wound up becoming the first franchisees in the system. So we used our first 2 or 3 locations as the testing ground to see how franchisees can make money, how we can get more efficient with the, the production and the supply chains and the marketing. And it was a great success. So that was back, as you said, in the fall of 2020. And we started franchising the concept about 18 months ago. So about a year after we opened our first location, our first franchise location. And we've already sold over 30 locations since then. So we're
fantastic.
We're doing quite well. Yeah, it's a great brand and a great product. Proud to be part of it.
So tell us more about the Mavericks Donuts model, please.
Sure. So our tagline says that donuts done different, and that really is the case, right? And when I first tried this product, I realized the second I put my mouth around the donut that it was a high quality product. It was handmade with good quality ingredients, freshly made on site at each location. And because we work mostly with cake donuts, and we can talk about that after if you'd like, so we do have some yeast donuts like a Boston cream or an apple fritter, but for the most part, we do sell cake donuts. And the cake donuts, are very versatile. So people are starting to use them now for weddings, instead of buying a single wedding cake, they can buy, 12 different flavors of donuts, or we can customize them to the colors that the bride would like. We do corporate logo donuts. We do birthdays, anniversaries. But for the most part, our sales are people coming into our store and looking for something special for a certain event. So maybe it's a boardroom meeting to impress some clients, or, little Tommy's birthday. They want to bring home some special donuts for them. And so we've really been able to kind of develop this concept of freshly made, high quality donuts that are very versatile for almost any event. And the franchisees are doing well, and it's been quite exciting.
Okay, that's very interesting. It's you mentioned a little while ago. It's the founder started in 2016 and started refining it. You were involved in the refining of it. Tell us about what kind of changes the brand made as it evolved from the original to where it is now, please.
Yeah, so I mean the first thing obviously is the flavors, right? So we've expanded the flavors to over 50 different kinds, and we rotate those throughout the year. So, you know, whether it's Mother's Day or Easter or Thanksgiving or Canada Day, doesn't really matter what the occasion is. We try to bring out we do bring out different donuts that kind of celebrate those occasions. So that was a big thing. So making sure that on a consistent basis, our customers have a variety of choice and they can, you know, celebrate a special thing with that. The second thing is, and I kind of laugh about this, but when the company first started, it was a decorate your own donut concept. So people would come in and they would, you know, walk down the bar and choose what toppings that they wanted. To be honest, it was a disaster. At least that's what Jeff told me, because the founder. And it was because people had no idea what to put on their donut. And you know, you get a family of four or five kids, and it holds up the line like crazy. So what we did was we developed the flavors that we felt were, you know, really popular. Like for instance, our lemon ricotta, which is made with freshly zested lemon and real ricotta cheese. Our Oreo Nirvana, you know, things like this, and those flavors
I'm getting
have just been
hungry.
flying off the bar. What's that, sorry?
I'm getting hungry.
Oh, absolutely. And I mentioned those are two of our top sellers across the board. They have been for years. But we do key lime pie as an example, right? We bring that out in the summertime and people just go crazy over it. And because it's freshly made and we use real ingredients, you know, real lemons, real cheese, real, you know, that kind of stuff, it really does make a difference and people are really flocking to it, which is great.
And so when you got involved with the franchise, helping create those franchise systems, optimize them, and as a franchisee, knowing your background experience in franchising before, what was your biggest challenge in opening your franchise?
Yeah, so when I first opened my store, I'm a born and bred salesperson, right? I say that with all the love in the world for it. I can't sell anything I'm not passionate about, but when I'm passionate, I go. And for me, it was all about how do our franchisees make money, right? Period. Full stop. The more successful they are, the more successful our brand is. And so quality and consistency is always there. That's without question. But how does a franchisee grow with that quality and consistency? And so when we first opened our store, and this is the case with all of the stores that have opened, the truth is that the first 3 or 4 months are pretty hectic. They're pretty crazy. We get lineups and the franchisee and the team are just starting to, you know, figure out their efficiencies in their kitchen and that kind of thing. But once you get past kind of that first quarter of business, first 3 months of business, it really does come, now start to come down to how do I get my donuts out into the community? So we develop programs with high schools, for instance, local sports teams, so local hockey teams, local soccer teams. We do stuff with retirement homes. We do things with, like I mentioned earlier, weddings, corporate logos, a lot of charity events. So what we've done is we've developed sales programs for our franchisees. And so at various times a year, example, in August, we have monthly franchisee calls. And so in August, as an example, we're going to start talking about schools, right? Because schools open in September. And so how do we approach high schools for, including our donuts as part of their fundraising initiatives and that kind of thing. So that was a big, big thing for us. And then just understanding, for instance, the online marketing and the online ordering. So we've really been able to hone in on, someone is, Googling as an example, wedding dessert ideas. Mavericks is going to pop up in our areas. We've been working really nicely on that. They land on a page that talks about the wedding donuts, and we get orders right directly to our franchisees. So building programs out like this was really a big challenge. And the other one, I guess, would have been just figuring out all of our supply chains. So now that we have locations open in Calgary and Toronto is will be as early as next month in the GTA, making sure that all of our national supply chains are in line, that would have been the other kind of big thing. But other than that, our quality has been refined. Our efficiencies have been refined. So when we come out with a new Thanksgiving six pack, as an example, we have all the steps in place for the franchisees to get their photos and their videos and their products, and then make sure that it's out on the counter in time. So those would I would have said would be the biggest challenges we've faced over the last couple of years.
I love the perspective of engaging the community and the purposeful aspects of how you do that. In my book, we have a chapter on interdependence, and this is the relationship between the franchisor and the franchisee. But also, it's engaging the community, the physical community, and the other parts of the community that the location is in. So you are not only are you building the systems and processes for the approach. You've got that monthly call to keep the franchisees focused on what the opportunities and challenges are.
And that's critical, right? I mean, a franchisee's success comes with sales and quality, right? So, we do focus heavily in the training on the quality and consistency, making sure that the donuts are coming out perfect every time or near perfect every time. But yeah, once you get right down to it, right? Everybody loves a donut, and I didn't quite realize that when we got into this. But whether people are 5 years old or 95 years old, whether they're Caucasian or immigrants, whether they're whatever it might be, we seem to have something that people love. And so the question really is, how do we get out in front of those people, right? People do get excited about donuts, fundraising initiatives and charities. We work with them consistently. We're able to give back, say 15% to a charitable organization if they get out and sell some of our donuts as part of their fundraising initiative. And so the charities will celebrate, say, with their volunteers or with whoever else it is, and money goes back to the charity. So whatever it is that we've been able to connect with, that's what we're trying to do with the franchisees, is really help them understand how to build the business. We don't just
So,
want them standing behind the counter and waiting for people to come in. We want them working their leads, working their business, working their community, and we know that's the way they're going to grow.
I want to come back to in a moment what you look for in the qualities of a franchisee, because a lot of people think location-based food, the customers will come to me. I don't have to go out to the customer so much. So I'd love to hear that. But first, I want to hear a little bit more. You've got double duty. You're the franchisor and you're the franchisee, and you're multi-unit franchisee. So
Yeah,
tell,
four.
yeah. So are they all four open, or is it
All
you're
four are
just?
open. My last one opened in September. That's I kind of jokingly say this has been the easiest part of my last 3 years, is that I'm not building any more shops. That is a challenging time for everybody, right? It's where all the money goes out and the shop gets built. But yeah, I do pull double duty. To be honest, my closest location to me physically is only about a 3 minute drive. And that's the one that I own 100%. My other three locations, I have an operating partner. So what's really important in our system is that we have owner operators, right? We don't believe in passive investment franchisees. So we do want people that are in the shop, that are working their business, treating their employees well, focused on their cost of goods, that kind of stuff, right? And so I live and breathe that every day, right? So I go in. I was already in my shop this morning, checking in on the quality of the donuts, making sure my staff are okay. Is there anything out? But my other three locations, I have an operating partner who's an owner who runs the shop day to day, and I support them with other things. From the franchising perspective, we have a whole team now, right? So there's four owners at the corporate level. There's myself. I'm an expert in operations. My other partner, his name is Andy Scott. He's been a franchise lawyer for over 20 years. And so he takes care of all the legal in-house, which is really great, where we move a lot faster than most systems who don't have their legal in-house. And then the founders, Jen and Jeff. Jeff is an experienced restaurateur. So he works with our franchisees on all of their equipment and construction and those kinds of things. And then Jen, she's done all the marketing and the branding. So if you take a look, she's done an amazing job. And so she coordinates the support and the marketing on that side. So I don't do everything myself for sure. But in saying that, it is busy. I live and breathe the brand. And just as we ask our franchisees to do the same thing, right? Wear the hat, wear the shirt proudly, be in the shop, speak to your customers. And so when I talk to franchisees about how to be successful in the business, I'm doing so based on my own personal experience and the things that we've actually done, not just things that we've conjured up and said, hey, this is what you should do. Part of that story for us is to live and breathe the brand. The founders are the same way. They own shops as well. They kind of pull double duty as well. But as we grow, we're hiring more and more people. We're just putting out a job posting for a new support person in our franchise system. So as we grow, we're bringing on more and more people to support.
That's very, very cool. Okay, so tell us a little bit more about the qualities of what you're looking for in your optimum franchisee.
Yeah, so I first question I always ask is how much restaurant experience or baking experience do you need? And the truth is, you don't need any. It's always a benefit, but you don't need any. And I'm a perfect example of that, right? I came from the healthcare executive. Like I wasn't even in healthcare; I was a business executive. Nobody wants me cooking food at home. I'm a terrible cook. So I ruined cereal kind of thing. And so, when I got into the kitchen and I learned the system and I learned the process, I realized how easy it is. Like it really is quite simple. Like, the challenge from our perspective has been developing the recipes and developing the efficiencies and developing the supply chains. But from a franchisee's perspective, they just have to come in and follow steps one, two, three, four, five. And if they're doing the things they're supposed to do, it's quite simple. So we're looking for people that are, a leader in a way, right? Someone that is not afraid to roll up their sleeves. They need to learn how to fry the donuts. They need to learn how to decorate the donuts. They need to learn how to serve customers. But then we want them to have that ability to, manage their team in a nice way where they, get their staff up to a pace where the staff are doing most of the kitchen work and most of the service work. And then the franchisee is working on the business as opposed to working in the business. So by that, I mean that they're out, developing their relationships. They're, going to the wedding shows. Like sometimes we'll, put up a booth at the wedding show and we're out there kind of telling people about our wedding donuts. So someone that feels comfortable doing those kinds of things, right? And what we do hear a lot from people as well, I'm not, that good at sales and that kind of stuff. There's a lot of people out there that are like that. Our programs are great. So as long as you have the confidence to get out and to speak about donuts and to talk about it passionately, we can train you the rest of the way. We have the tools and the programs and the support to help them. So they just have to be confident in getting out into the community and doing those kinds of things.
Enjoying the episode so far? Franchise Canada also has bi-monthly newsletters full of franchise opportunities. With Franchise Canada e-news, new content gets sent directly to your inbox, and you can keep up to date on the newest episodes of the Franchise Canada Chats podcast that you're listening to right now. Plus, you get a free subscription to Franchise Canada magazine. Join the 19,000 fellow franchisees, industry leaders, and aspiring entrepreneurs by subscribing at franchisecanada.online. Now, back to the episode.
So some level of comfort networking and
Yeah.
the interaction of creating and developing relationships. Interesting.
Yeah,
Interesting.
exactly. And I say it again, it's donuts are a very easy thing to sell, right? Like, I can walk into a high school as an example, like say third week of school, and I can bring 12 donuts to the staff at the front area of the reception area, and everyone's cheering and screaming, hey, we got free donuts. And of course they're willing to listen about the sponsorship programs that include donuts and that kind of stuff. It's really not hard. It's just you've got to feel that comfort level to get out and do that, right? That's the key.
As with any franchise system, it's about executing the core elements of the business model. Follow the system, right? And then master the system. And as you're
Absolutely.
evolving as a young brand, it sounds like you've already done a lot of the optimization, but having your own locations, it becomes a test center and for additional optimization.
Yeah,
Now,
and
go
sorry,
ahead.
just on that topic, right? We're called Mavericks Donuts, right? And quick little story behind that is that Jen and Jeff, they were their third child was on the way, and they thought it might be a boy, and they were going to name it Maverick. It turned out it was a girl. And so, that didn't work. And when they opened this, they called it Mavericks. But the truth is, we really do want to be the Maverick of donuts, right? And that is something that we focus on. So while we have our systems and processes in place, we do listen to our franchisees too. Some of our best donuts have come from our franchisees, right? Some really cool ideas that have come out. We've looked at them. We have a process where they can submit. And so we do want to grow and build the brand in a way that is a bit maverick, but at the same time following the systems and processes, right? So we're looking for that kind of, that cross mix of people that are, ready to follow the system and not break the rules, but at the same time help us to kind of expand the box, if you know what I mean.
I go back to the comment of my chapter on interdependence. It's very common for top franchisees to have that intricate relationship with their franchisor on a strategic level. It's a mutual ongoing relationship development and business model execution.
You got it.
So you one of my as I looked forward to this discussion, the part of the interview I was really looking forward to is hearing. The industry where you're the sector of your industry is super crowded. So how do you stand out in such a crowded space, in such a crowded segment of the QSR food market?
So I will respectfully disagree with you that the industry is crowded. I actually think it's quite empty.
That's
We do not
fascinating.
compete with Tim Hortons. We do not compete with Krispy Kreme. Those are not the companies that we feel are our direct competition. If somebody wants to save a dollar on a donut, they can go to Tim Hortons, right? And I don't mean to point them out, but they're not made on site. They're frozen. They're I know some of my staff have worked there. It's just not the same thing. We compete mostly with kind of local bakeries or even like the Baskin-Robbins of the world, right? So if you think somebody's thinking, oh, my son's birthday is this weekend, do I get an ice cream cake or do I get a dozen donuts, right? If I'm going to the boardroom meeting, do I get, these pastries or do I get? So we, and if you take a look around the country, there are a lot of, I'll call them mom and pop places that are great. But there's no franchise system that is offering what we're offering and to the extent that we're offering it. What I'm also finding in the industry is that most donut concepts are focused on yeast donuts. So just quickly, a yeast donut, for those that know baking, dealing with yeast takes a long time, right? So you have to roll out you have to mix it, you have to roll it out. Yeast has to rise, and you can't rush yeast. It's impossible to rush yeast. So if I'm having a Saturday where I've got a wedding and I've got like last week Saturday, this just happened. We also had an order from Home Depot where we did Home Depot logo donuts for a really big employee event, which was great. And then I had a busy Saturday in my shop. If that was the case and I was producing yeast donuts, I'd have to have multiple ovens, multiple proofing machines. I'd have to have a larger kitchen and I would need a heck of a lot more time. With cake, we can do it much faster, right? So cake is more versatile. It does last longer on the shelf. It freezes really well. And we can produce, our record is thousands of donuts. It's over 3,000 donuts at one location produced and sold in one day with a single fryer that takes up about 9 square feet. So the truth is that our model really is set differently from what you're seeing out there. We can produce quickly with quality and consistency, and we can customize to almost any level. And if you go back to your comment about the industry, I just don't see anybody else that's doing that.
That's fascinating. Thank you for sharing that. What does the future hold franchise for franchise development, John, for Mavericks Donuts? You mentioned at our pre-discussion that you just got your first location in the US. So what's coming?
what's coming. So we've sold over 30 locations around the country, officially in all in Ontario and Alberta. We have some coming in other cities and provinces in April. I won't say who they are, but there's over a dozen more that are ready to sign and move forward with. We currently have 7 locations in construction, with 4 or 5, I can't remember the number, more looking for locations plus that. So we're expanding very nicely. The founders decided to move south. So they've moved to South Carolina, where they continue to support and grow the brand. But they are opening their first location down there, and we are expecting to have a southeastern arm, southeastern US arm, starting, I'm hoping, by the end of this year. So we will be looking at that. But the truth is, it's just about finding the right people in the right place. So we look for the people first, which is really the important part, I think. Location is important as well, there's no question. But we find the people first. When our franchisees pay for the franchise fee, it actually goes into trust. So we haven't earned our money yet until we find them a location that they're happy with. That's something that we worked on in our system. We want to make sure that our franchisees find a location that they're comfortable with, that they're happy with, that they feel good signing, and then move forward from there. So back to your question about what the future holds, it's where we find good people. We're going to make sure that our supply chains can handle those locations. We're going to help them find a good location. But yeah, our plan is to move across Canada and into the US as well.
In Toronto, as you mentioned, the ones that are in build out, whereabouts in the GTA are those ones?
Yeah, right now we have 2 in Durham that are actually starting their construction. A location in Barrie should be opening soon. We have Oakville, Milton, Burlington, Hamilton, Kitchener, St. Catharines, but I can tell you that Bloor, near High Park in Toronto as well, looks like it's going to go through.
Okay.
So, those are the ones, but for the most part, Toronto is pretty wide open right now. It's obviously the biggest market in Canada, and we know that we could hold a lot of locations there. I think what's important to note too, is we don't intend on being a Tim Hortons. We're not going to be on every corner, getting back to this point of doing corporate events and weddings and things like that. Our locations are going to have a much wider spread between the locations to ensure that the franchisees can grow. But, GTA, other locations like that, we have a lot of room to grow with. So that's our plan, is to fill the holes and make sure that our franchisees have good, solid ground to grow in.
And how are people finding you? I see you at the franchise shows. You're very popular at the franchise shows, the CFA franchise show. How are they? Are they finding you mostly through that, or
we're having a lot of success there, which is a surprise to a lot of other brands. A lot of people feel that they get they don't get sometimes the most qualified leads at the shows, but I think that has to do with the fact that we have such an open slate, right? Like if someone strolls in from a certain area, we likely have that opening right now. Maybe in 5 years we won't. So yeah, the shows have been very popular for us. A lot of online. So we're finding that, people are starting to find us more and more. We do a lot of social or search engine optimization, social media, that kind of thing. And then I do work with a few brokers as well. So people to help me kind of in areas where we're not getting a lot of leads, but that we feel would be a good location. So it is a mix for sure.
Okay. As we wind down the discussion today, John, one of my favorite questions, what haven't I asked you that you would ask you?
Lifestyle. Lifestyle. So I'm just gonna say this, just like everybody else in the world, it's been a tough 3 or 4 years for everybody, right? Like pandemic and all of that kind of stuff, and certainly the inflations and everything else that's been going on. I do see a lot of people that are struggling with mental health and just not enjoying work and that kind of thing. The one thing, I'm a business guy, as I mentioned earlier. I jumped in as the franchisor first because I really believed in being able to build the system. When I opened my first location, I was shocked at how happy it made me feel. And I say that because you know, when I'm now, when I'm having a bad day, I go to the donut shop, right? Like that's what I do. I you know, if I'm a full day of video calls or, you know, bookkeeping or whatever else that is that goes on, when I go to the shop, it brings a smile to my face. People are coming in constantly saying how great it smells in here, how wonderful the donuts are. I'm going to a party. It's my little son's birthday, whatever it is. And you just get into such positive conversations with people. And I can tell you that my mental health, as an example, has just, it's been great. I haven't been this busy in 10 years. But it doesn't feel like work at all. And you know, the franchisees that come on board, they're also feeling that, right? It's a change. And so, you know, people out there that are looking for something that, you know, is maybe more positive, that you can, you know, make money. It's a simple model, right? Flour, sugar, coffee. It's a very simple model. You know, to me, lifestyle is a really, really big component to this. So that's what I would say was missing from the conversation.
That's probably one of the best answers I've heard. And I ask that question for all the clients I work with who are seeking franchise ownership. We talk a lot about what their financial and lifestyle goals are. And I find that financial is far less, has far less priority. It's important, but it has far less weight for a lot of people today than the quality of life, the ability for that control over work-life balance and building for themselves instead of building for others. And that's part of the
Absolutely.
beauty of the franchise model.
It is. And with ours too, you know, our shops typically close at 5 or 6 p.m. right? And if you think about that, right? Like that means that you're shutting down the shop and you're going home to your kids and your family. You're not staffing people till midnight, like a lot of food concepts. And so, you know, that whole notion of, I mean, your Saturdays are the busiest day of the week. You kind of have to give up your weekends a little bit, but you know, you've got evenings and Mondays off and that kind of stuff. It's honestly, it really is a nice lifestyle. I would highly recommend it if someone's looking for that kind of a fit.
I've really enjoyed this discussion today, John. Thank you very much.
As did I. I really appreciate your time and your questions. And listen, I have heard great things about your book, so I have to sit
Oh.
down and read it. I'm gonna definitely do that. I'm gonna order one online and do that. I've heard a number of people mention it, so.
Thank you, folks. That wraps up today's episode of Franchise Canada Chats. Looking forward to having you join us next time.
Thanks for listening to Franchise Canada Chats. Catch up on every episode of Franchise Canada Chats on SoundCloud, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your audio media. For more franchising resources, including how-to articles, expert advice, franchise success stories, and franchise opportunities, visit franchisecanada.online. Don't forget to subscribe to Franchise Canada eNews while you're there. You can also learn more about franchising at cfa.ca and connect with specific franchise opportunities at lookforafranchise.ca.